Who is this man called by God his servant? Let me tell you who he is. He is a hater of God. And God calls him his servant. Who is this man called by God his servant? Nebuchadnezzar was a hater of God's house. That isn't all. He led to the destruction of the house of God. He destroyed the temple. He destroyed the brazen altar. He destroyed the Holy of Holies. He destroyed the sacred furnishings of the temple. And yet God says, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. That isn't all. He was a hater not only of God and God's house, but he was a hater of God's people. Nebuchadnezzar came from Babylon, took into bondage all the people that could benefit him with their trades and their money and their position and their abilities and talents, destroyed the city. He destroyed every house in the city. He leveled the walls around the city. He caused such a famine until it's hard to believe, but people cooked their own sons and ate them. People ate the bodies of their own daughters, and the Bible says even their own friends, they would just I got a few friends I'd like to boil, but anyway, but I wouldn't eat them if you're too tough. But they ate their friends. They ate their children, their boys, their girls, their sons and daughters. This was all caused by a wicked, vile, ruthless king, Nebuchadnezzar. And God called him his servant. Can you imagine? Who is this king that God called his servant? Not only is this the king who hated God, who hated God's house, who hated God's people, he is a king who took one of the kings of Judah and threw him into chains and bondage. He took another and carried him into slavery. He even invaded Egypt because Egypt had been a friend to Israel. He wasn't satisfied just to invade Israel, but he was so angry and frenzied because Israel had been befriended by Egypt. He even went on and invaded Egypt for being a friend to Israel. And yet, this is the man, four times in the Bible, three times in Jeremiah alone, who is called by God himself. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. I can understand why in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2, God said, Moses, my servant. It was Moses who led the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. It was Moses who put up with them for 40 years in the wilderness. I can understand why God would say, Moses, my servant. I can understand why in Numbers 14:24, God said, my servant Caleb. Caleb was one of the two spies who said we can possess the land, and he was allowed to live long enough to enter into the land and see the land. I can understand why God would say, my servant Caleb. I can understand why in Job chapter 1 and verse 8, God said, my servant Job. It was Job who had all ten of his children to die. It was Job whose wife said, curse God and die. It was Job that lost all of his wealth and riches. It was Job that lost his health. It was Job that had leprosy, the most righteous man in the whole world at the time. And yet Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know that my Redeemer liveth, he said. And I can understand why God would say, my servant Job. I can understand why in Isaiah 20 and verse 3, God says, my servant Isaiah. Isaiah was that faithful prophet who looked down through his telescope of prophecy and saw the virgin birth and saw the millennium and saw the coming of Christ and saw the crucifixion. Isaiah, the great prophet of the Old Testament, probably the greatest of all the prophets of the Old Testament. I can understand why God would say, my servant Isaiah. I could understand why in Isaiah 44:1, God said, Jacob, my servant. It was Jacob who came back to Jabbok and wrestled with God, and his name was changed to Prince, and the entire nation of Israel is named after him, Israel. And I can understand that. I can understand why in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 23, Zerubbabel is called by God, Zerubbabel, my servant. For Zerubbabel was the one who came back from the land of Babylon and bondage and led in the rebuilding of the temple that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar himself. But Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Moses, my servant? Yes. Joshua, my servant? Maybe. Abraham, my servant? Sure. Job, my servant? Of course. Jacob, my servant? Certainly. Zerubbabel, my servant? Oh, yes. But, Nebuchadnezzar. This wicked, ruthless, vile, ferocious, filthy king called by God his servant. Why? Listen carefully. You'll learn something you'll never forget. God looked down and said something like this. This wicked king hates me. This wicked king is trying to destroy my work. This wicked king is trying to destroy me. If he could, he'd bring me off my throne. This wicked king is trying to destroy my people. I'll show him. I'll make him my servant. I'll take his evil and use it for good. And Nebuchadnezzar thinks he's trying to hurt my people. Really, he's my servant. Because he'll not hurt my people. He'll not hurt me. He'll not hurt my work. I will take his evil intentions and I will see to it that my work is stronger and my people are stronger. And God said he doesn't know it. But that wicked, vile king is my servant. God said, I'll take his evil intentions and I'll not let it destroy the work of God. I'll make it strengthen the work of God, and I'll use him and his evil intentions for good. So can you. So can you. When evil comes your way, it's up to you. It can make you or it can break you. It's strictly up to you. You can use it as a stepping stone or a stumbling block. It can cause you to stumble into obscurity and failure, or it can cause you to be a stepping stone to cause you to step higher and higher and higher. It's up to you. There are people in this room this morning. Adversity has come your way. Evil has come your way. And it's broken your spirit. It's broken your will. And it's hurt you. It's destroyed you. But there are people here this morning who have the same evil that you had and have the same adversity you've had and have the same heartache that you had or the same enemy you had. And they've said, by cracky, I'm going to make it stronger, make some stronger because of it. And the same thing that caused you to stumble has caused them to go higher and higher and higher. Why? Because that came to do them harm, they said, I'll see that I'll be stronger because of it. I'll spend more time with God because of it. I'll spend more time in this book because of it. And that evil will not destroy me. It'll make me. And that evil becomes my servant. When evildoers attack you, make them your servant. They want to hurt you. Don't let it happen. Make them help you. Make it draw you closer to God. Make it make you stronger. Make it make you pray more. It's strictly up to you. Life is full of adversity. Life is full of battles. I say to our preacher boys at Howells Anderson College, in fact, our entire student body, I say, fellas, it's a jungle out there. You heard me say it again and again, guys. It's a jungle out there. It is a jungle out there. But some of our graduates go out and they face that jungle and they say, I can't take it. It's too hard. I'll give up. I'll quit. And they wash out, and the jungle destroys them, but other people walk out and say, I'll get my D D.J. degree, Doctor of Jungles, and I'll rise above it. And I'll use my enemy to make me stronger. I'll use my adversity to make me stronger. And I'll not be defeated. And my enemy and my adversity and my sorrow and my heartache will not destroy me, but it'll build me. Make your illness your servant. Make criticism of you your servant. Make the death of a loved one your servant. Make your opposition your servant. Make your enemies your servants. Make your poverty your servant. Make your loneliness your servant. Make your burdens your servant. Make your disappointments your servant. Make your heartache your servant. Make old Smutty Face himself, the old booger man, make the devil your servant. He comes and says, I'll destroy you. I've got news for you. In Christ you are indestructible. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Use the devil for your servant. God said, come with your wicked attack, Nebuchadnezzar. I'll make you my servant. God said, come and destroy the temple. I'll make you my servant. God said, come on and hurt my people. I'll make you my servant. And you can say the same thing. You can look at your illness this morning and say, illness, I'll make you my servant. That's what it means in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 when it says, verse 37, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. It's a good word. It means we're unbreakable through him that loves us. Now, there you are by yourself. Here you are with Christ. Well, it's going to break. God is saying, you don't have to. Well, I'm just breaking beneath the load. You're unbreakable through Christ. I just can't take it another day. You are unconquerable through Christ. You take the adversity. Instead of getting 100, get on top of it and stand up and go like that and say, I'll use you to make me what I ought to be. Nebuchadnezzar, come on with your armies. Come on with your attack. Go ahead and destroy the temple. Go ahead and destroy the wall. Go ahead and destroy the city. But God said, let me tell you, Nebi, you're my servant. I'll use you as a tool to make my people stronger. That's what Romans 8:28 means. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to His purpose, and we totally misunderstand that verse. God is not saying that if you love God and you're in His will, that He'll change what He's going to do to you. No, he's saying if you love God and you're in His will, the same thing that would have broken you now can be used for His good, for your good. It's up to you how you use it. Enemy comes along, use him to destroy you, or use him to make you stronger. Burdens come along, use them to destroy you, or use them to make you stronger. And God said, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. I didn't mean Nebuchadnezzar was a great Christian. He wasn't. He was saved later on, by the way, I think. But at this time, Nebuchadnezzar was not a great Christian. He was an enemy of God, a hater of God, a hater of God's work, a hater of God's house, a hater of God's people. But God said, let me tell you something, Buster. You'll not destroy my work. You'll make my work stronger, and I'll see to it. Oh, rise above your burdens and rise above your heartaches and rise above your problems and rise above your enemies and let the things that come into your life that are midnights and shadows, let them make you stronger. That's what God is saying here. Make your illness your servant. Make the death of a loved one your servant. Make your financial reversals your servant. Make your problems your servant. Make your enemies your servants. Let me introduce you this morning to some of my servants. Henry Kincaid. You never heard the name Henry Kincaid. Henry Kincaid stood up at a meeting of my denomination in the middle 1950s. And he said, there are two churches in this association who will not cooperate. You see, I won't send a penny to a school who doesn't believe the book. He said, there are two churches who will not cooperate. And he said, these churches are pastored by Pastor Jack Hiles and Pastor Joe Boyd. And he said, I make a motion that Pastor Hiles and his church and Pastor Boyd and his church be expelled from the Dallas Baptist Association. Motion was seconded. And they voted us out of the association, not because of anything we'd done wrong. We just wouldn't support their schools. We wouldn't support their liberal mission program. Wouldn't give a dime to it, and I still won't. I'll quit the ministry before I'll support somebody's school that teaches this book is not the Word of God. I walked out that morning defeated. For about a few days, I was on the bottom. I got in my car a week later and drove to the First Baptist Church of Irving, Texas, where Henry Kincaid was the pastor. I found out where his study was, and I got outside his study underneath his window. And I said, Henry, I don't know whether you're there or not, but you're going to be my servant. I'm going to use what you did for God's glory. And you'll not defeat me, and you'll not lick me, and you'll not destroy me. I'll make you my servant. And I'd like to say this. I thank God this morning for Henry Kincaid. He's my servant. He said to me one day, he said, you'll never, never, never be able to pastor a successful church with your attitude. You just wait. One day I'm going to do that. I mean, he tried to destroy me, but I said, I'll not be destroyed. I'll use it not as a stumbling block, but a stepping stone. Oh, this morning, this building is full of burdens and full of heartaches, and I've got my burdens and you have yours, and I've got my problems and you have yours, and I've got my enemies and you have yours. But let me tell you, there's nobody in this world can destroy you but you. And you can decide how your adversity affects you. It can make you weaker and cause you to crumble, or it can make you stronger and cause you to rise above it. And it can become a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block. May I give you another one of my servants? Death. You say death? Yes, death. Death came into my family and took my father, who was an alcoholic. I went to his grave. I couldn't understand why. I was a pastor, and I couldn't understand why God would let my father die the death of an unsaved man. Suddenly with a heart attack, an alcoholic. I could understand that. But I went to my father's grave and I said these words, and I've said them many times in his grave, and I say them every week when I go out and visit my mama's burial place. And my daddy's body was taken from Italy, Texas, and brought up here and buried beside mother's body in a crypt out at our church mausoleum. And I say it every week when I go out there. I'll say, Daddy, I'm going to use you to be a better preacher. And I guarantee you, thousands and thousands of daddies have been won to Christ because my daddy died outside of Christ. You can get discouraged, disillusioned, disappointed, deceived. All of a sudden decide, I can't make it anymore. I can't tell. Oh, yes, you can make it. And I'll tell you what you do. Every time you make it, every day you make it, you're stronger because you make it. You reach that bottom in your life. And God said, if you last one more day, you'll be stronger tomorrow. And if you last tomorrow, you'll be stronger the next day. And you last the next day, you'll be stronger the next day. And God said, you just keep on and keep on and keep on. And before you know it, your enemy becomes your servant. And your illness becomes your servant. And your heartache becomes your servant. I'll tell you another one of my servants. His name is George Roberts. Not sure I've ever mentioned his name in the pulpit here. He was the deacon, chairman, at first little church I pastored. Remember the church where the kids called me? I got voted in the church 27 and 26. I mean, real avalanche of votes. And only had one adult vote, and that was Mrs. Lambert, and 26 votes of the teenagers and junior kids. And this deacon, he said to me, he brought me in that building empty one night about midnight, and he and the Sunday school superintendent and the treasurer stood up, and I was a 21-year-old kid preacher, And that deacon looked at me and he said, "You've been voted in to pastor this church." But he said, "George Roberts said to me, we'll see to it you never walk in that pulpit." Ho, 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 ho. All of a sudden, I had a tremendous urge to walk in that pulpit. And I got up and I said to him, "Let me tell you something, Mr. Roberts." By the way, he was 72 years of age. I was 21. I said, "Let me tell you something, Mr. Roberts." See, 20, I had courage. 21 years old. I could lick any 72-year-old man in America. I said, "Let me tell you something, Mr. Robert. If you and your two sidekicks here and everybody else in this church says I shouldn't walk in this pulpit, I'll guarantee you if God leads me there, it'll take more than you guys to keep me out of that pulpit." And God used that experience when I was just a kid preacher to give me courage I wouldn't have had, and strength I wouldn't have had, and fortitude I wouldn't have had. And my George Roberts, who tried to destroy me and sat back in the back of the building and grimaced all the time I was pastor of that church, thank God for him. He was my servant. And you can make your enemy your servant too. You can either whine and have a pity party and complain and be disillusioned and, "Well, I've lost all my confidence in humanity." I haven't. I never had any. My confidence is in Jesus. Somebody says, "I'm not going to come to church anymore. Those church members, they have lost my confidence in them." Well, how about Jesus? You don't come to worship the church members. You come to worship Him. Let me introduce you to another one of my servants. His name is A.B. Rutledge. Pastor of First Baptist Church of Marshall, Texas. He called me on the phone one day after I had done something I've told you about before. He said, "Young man, you'll never mount anything." You know, I just decided to mount something. I wanted to live to see the day when I could point my finger in his face and say, "I mounted something. And you hang around here. I'm going to mount something one of these days." He said, "You'll never mount anything." Why, he said, "I'll see to it. You'll never mount anything." He said, "With your attitude and your spirit." I was preaching in San Antonio, Texas one day in the big Coliseum there. 7,000 people there in that big Coliseum. Folks couldn't get seats in it, and they're sitting in the aisles and sitting on the stairs. And as I walked up to speak, I stumbled over a fellow sitting there on the steps, or a chair by the steps. Stumbled over him. Actually knocked him over. And I said, "I'm sorry, sir." I looked and saw it was A.B. Rutledge. I said, "Never mind, I'm not sorry." No, I didn't say that, but I said, "I'm sorry, sir, but he was sitting over there in an extra chair on the step to hear me preach, and I was the main speaker. Don't you see what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. Nobody in this world can destroy you, sir, but the fellow that's living right now in that 54 coat you're wearing." That's the pants. The coat's a little bigger. Nobody can destroy you. Sir, nobody can destroy you but you. And nobody can destroy you but you. And nobody can destroy you but her. I mean you. Than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're unbreakable through Him that loved us. We're unbeatable through Him that loved us. We're undefeated through Him that loved us. That's why God said, "Nebuchadnezzar, you think you're causing a havoc. We're just using you for a barbell to make our muscles bigger." Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. I'll tell you another one of my servants. His name is Victor Nischik. I have a letter in my office written from him to Robert L. Sumner, another one of my servants, who said, I'm quoting now, "I'm 54 years old. I've given my life to the destruction of Jack Hyams. I got some news. I'll use him as a servant." A servant. I mean, listen, let me tell you something. I say it again. We are more than conquerors. The First Baptist Church is unconquerable in Christ. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Robert L. Sumner is one of my servants. He doesn't know it. One of my servants. He works for me. I don't pay him a penny. Doesn't deserve a penny. He's one of my servants. He says, aren't you afraid they'll hear this sermon? I'm afraid they won't hear this sermon. I want to serve notice to everybody in this room this morning, and to myself included. There's nobody can destroy me but me. There's nobody can destroy you but you. There's nobody can destroy us but us. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And we, if we will say, look here, old stone, I'll not stumble over you. I will step up on you. You'll not be a stumbling block. You'll be a stepping stone. I'll take you illness and make you my servant. I'll take you adversity and make you my servant. I'll take you reversal and make you my servant. George Godfrey is one of my servants. He won't destroy me. With the grace of God, He'll make me stronger. The other day I was in my room out in Cheyenne, Wyoming, opening mail. I have had more invitations, more speaking engagements in the last 30 days than I've had in any 30-day period in my life. More invitations to speak. More than I've had in any other month in my life. I have had more invitations to speak in the last month. Everywhere I've been lately, some preacher walks up and says to me, George Godfrey called me and asked me if he could preach for me. Hell will freeze over, for I'll peddle myself like a merchant from house to house. In 42 years, I've never, never asked anybody, let me preach for them. God is my agent. God opens my doors. So I'd like to thank some of my servants who've gotten me so many speaking engagements lately. I could have said, I'm all washed up. No. I've lost my faith in humanity. Not me, Buster. Not me. No way. God said, Nebuchadnezzar, you think you're my enemy, you're my servant. God said, you think you hate me, but I'm using you as my servant. You think you're going to destroy my people, but that burning bush back there that Moses saw on the backside of the desert that was not consumed, is burning but not consumed, that represented my people. And that means my people will not be consumed. And you will not destroy my people. Tear down their houses. But you will not destroy my people. Destroy their temple. You will not destroy my people. Level the walls around the city. You will not destroy my people. Cause a famine to come. You will not destroy my people, because my people are indestructible. And so are you. So are you. What you going to do with your enemies? What you going to do with yours? I talked to a good man the other day. Good guy. He's here this morning, I'm sure, because I told him to come or I was going to beat the stuffings out of him. And he's got a heap of stuffings in him. Good guy. I mean, not coming to church because some people mistreated him. You're going to let people defeat you? Huh? I'd show them. I'd get here before they do. I'd find out where they sit and get their seat. What are you, man or mouse? People across the country, our preacher boys go across the country, and our men on the staff go across the country preaching. Everybody asks two questions. And the first question they ask, how's Brother Howells holding up? Well, you tell him he's alive and well. Tell him he's got more invitations than he's ever had and more servants than he's ever had. Tell you a story and I'll quit. And I'll tell you another and quit again. That's right. Not supposed to quit. Don't quit. Preacher lives within 100 miles of here. I won't tell you his name.
couple months ago or so, he contacted Ms. McKinney and wrote me one and asked if he could have an appointment. He said he had some problems. He wrote me or called Ms. McKinney one. We gave him an appointment. That appointment was this last week. He walked in. I sat in the office. We chatted a while, and I said, "What can I do for you?" This preacher friend of mine, he said nothing. I wanted to kick him out of the office. I got folks that need some help that won't see me. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, when I asked for the appointment, I needed some help. But I've already gotten it." I said, "Explain that to me." He said, "Dr. Hiles," he said, "a couple months ago, two or three months ago, I had a real battle in my church." He said, "It's still going on." He said, "It's a real knockdown, drag out." He said, "A couple of months ago, I decided I needed to talk to you because I was going to quit." He said, "I needed you to talk to me because I was going to quit." But he said, "Since then, you've had your problems." He said, "I've decided if you can take what you're taking, I'll take what I'm taking." And he said, I don't need to hear what you have to tell me. I've seen what you had to tell me." As he left, I said, "I'll hang in there if you'll hang in there." He said, "I'll hang in there if you hang in there." We're both going to be hung tomorrow morning at sunup. Did you know that God is still alive and well? Did you know that every promise in this book is just as true as it was 2 months ago? Did you know the same Holy Spirit that has dwelt me all these years still lives in here? Now I know what you're going to do with your problems. Fold if you want to. Quit. Turn back. Get disillusioned. Lose your confidence in humanity if you want to. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to make my enemies my servants. And they get to the judgment seat or the great white throne, whichever one they're going to go to. But if they're at the judgment seat, I'm going to walk up and say, "Thanks, Lord Sumner. Thanks, Lord." Because I got a few rewards here I wouldn't have gotten if it hadn't been for you. You gave me a chance to stand. So many of you have said to me, "Preacher, we don't like to see you hurt, but we appreciate the opportunity of letting you know we love you and stand beside you." And every once in a while, I need that same opportunity to let Jesus know I love him and I'm going to stand beside him. What's your problem this morning? What's your burden? What's your heartache? Make it your servant. Let that same thing that could defeat you make you stronger. Let that same burden that could destroy you make you stronger. Hold up beneath the load. Hang in there. Tie a knot at the end of the rope. Hang on. Use your Nebuchadnezzars to be your servant. I love that little line. Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Nebuchadnezzar never knew that. He knows it now. I bet you when he got to heaven and read that part of the Bible, he said, "My soul, my soul. I didn't know I was God's servant. I thought I was his enemy. I hated him. Hated his people. Hated his city. Hated his house. Hated his book. But God used me to be his servant." All right, now quickly in closing, what is your problem? Think about it. What is the thing that you wake up in the middle of the night and the first thing crosses your mind? What is it? What is that thing that when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you think about is that thing and you wish it all in a dream, but you find out it really is reality? What is it? What is the thing that causes the most tears to be on your pillow through the night? What is it?
I'm not saying we don't hurt. I'm not saying I don't hurt. I'm not saying it at all. I'm not saying I don't weep. I'm not saying it at all. But I'm saying with the grace of Almighty God, you have within you the capability of rising above that thing that would destroy you and make that thing your servant and say, bow before me, problem. Bow before me, burden. Bow before me, heartache. You'll not destroy me. You'll make me. And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. And I'm not saying God changes the things. It just means whatever is going to happen to you, if you love God and you're in His will, you'll utilize that thing that could have been for your bad, you'll utilize it for your good. I've got to tell you a story and I'll quit again. I was flying to Los Angeles, California. Speaker of the House, Tip O'Neill, was on the airplane. He was sitting two seats in front of me in both seats. He's on the airplane. The plane was late leaving Chicago. If I don't get there within a few minutes, the plane is coming down to land in Los Angeles. If I don't get there in about 15 minutes, I'll miss my speaking engagement. I prayed, and the pilot came on and said, we're 35th in line to land. He said, we'll circle the field probably an hour and a half to 2 hours. That put us there right in the middle of my sermon. I never like to walk in while I'm preaching. Right in the middle of my sermon. 35th in line. Laid out of Chicago. Round and around. Started going over Los Angeles. Tip O'Neill got up out of his seat. Went up to the pilot. Told him something. Came back and sat down. Pilot said, ladies and gentlemen, we've just been cleared to land. Said, Speaker of the House, Tip O'Neill, has to make an engagement in Los Angeles tonight. We've been cleared to go first. We're first of the 35 planes. I shouted all the way down. Everybody on that plane thought that Tip O'Neill was getting there in time to play in a golf tournament. And God was getting a Baptist preacher there in time to preach that night. Just that thing that's causing you to stumble, just hold it up real tight. Sit it down there on the ground. Stand on top of it. Make it your servant. Our Heavenly Father.